In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. It's great to be with all of you. And as we start off our conversation, I'd like to invite Mary to come to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the mother of each and every one of us. Also, when we pray to Mary, we invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So let's invite Mary to come to be with us, to pray with us and to pray for us. As we say the prayer that she loves most, and that prayer is the Hail Mary. Together. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now I'd like to invite to be with us our spiritual director. What a privilege to have as our spiritual director, the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has many wonderful titles. Holy Spirit is known as the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the gift of gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the sweet guest of the soul. Holy Spirit is also known as our interior master. St. Paul says in his letter to the Romans chapter 8, so we really do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans, so we can say Abba, meaning Father. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to come to be with us. And let us beg him to give us a lot of light, as well as interior fire to burn within us as we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your spirit and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. How true it is, my friends, a family that prays together, stays together. And a world at prayer is a world at peace. Let's keep striving to grow deeper and deeper in our prayer lives, our personal prayer lives, as well as our community prayer life. After praying with you, I'll be praying for all of you. But after praying with you, I'll pray for all of you. I'll pray for all of you in the greatest of all prayers. Prayer is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. It is the prayer par excellence. So my first intention will be, I'd like to pray that all of us would strive to be open to the Holy Spirit. Perhaps this can be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Right, come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My next intention, I'd like to pray in a special way for our families, for the conversion for the sanctification and for the salvation of our families. Jesus said very clearly, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? What can we exchange for our soul? So I'd like to pray that our family members would open their hearts to the infinite love and mercy of God. Then I'd like to pray for another group of people. I'd like to pray in a special way for those who will be dying sometime today. That those who will be dying today, that they would be saved. Pray for all of you also for Gina's healing and relief from the pain of her injury. And our many sufferings that we're going through. But I'd like to pray for those who will die today, that they would die in this state of grace, as well as ourselves. The most important moment in our lives is the moment that we die. So, my friends, Let's move into the riches of the Word of God. So we're moving now in the readings, my friends, from the major prophets that we've been reading over the past couple of weeks. We're moving into the New Testament. And starting today, we have the second letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians. And what I like to do is, I like to just start off by talking about his greeting. So St. Paul is writing to the community of Thessalonica, and he says, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the church of Thessalonica. In God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a very beautiful greeting. Very beautiful greeting. He greets together with Silvanus and Timothy. And it's a holy greeting in which he greets in the name of the Father as well as Jesus Christ. When we celebrate Mass, the priest starts off by making the sign of the cross and by greeting us. The greeting can be, the Lord be with you, or the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion, the Holy Spirit be with you all. There are various forms. We even might ask ourselves how important a greeting is. The Jewish people have the word shalom. That's the way in which they would greet people, shalom. And shalom actually means peace be with you. Peace be with you. And Paul goes on to say, we ought to thank God always for you. Thank God always for you. Let us never be lacking, my friends, in thanksgiving. With the psalmist, give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his mercy endures forever. Let us get in the habit of thanking God frequently. God loves a grateful and a joyful heart. And if we want to continue to receive many graces, then we should get in the habit of thanking God frequently during the course of the day. For example, the fact that we can come together every day, and we can have this spiritual conversation every day, is a great blessing. The fact that we come to the Perseverance family to come together to pray with each other and to grow in a relationship with God is a great blessing, and we should give thanks to God for this. With the psalmist, give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his mercy endures forever. So let us greet each other in the name of the Lord, and let us constantly render thanksgiving to God. And to be very honest with all of you, what do we have that we have not received from God? The only thing that we have not received from God are our own sins. We've chosen them. But aside from that, on a human level, on a natural level, and especially on the supernatural level, everything that we have received in our lives is a pure gift from God. So let us cultivate an attitude of gratitude to characterize our lives. The responsorial psalm is, proclaim God's marvelous deeds to all the nations. So tell the others the many marvels and graces that God has given to you. One way in which we can grow in our faith is to get in the habit of sharing our faith with others. Okay, the gospel today, I'd like to pull an idea from the gospel which I like to follow in my, there's a book by Francis whose name is Father Fernandez, who gives a commentary on the readings for today. And he points out this. The scribes and Pharisees were blind guides. Blind guides. So I'd like to talk today on a positive note about the importance of having good guides. And I'd like to talk about the importance of spiritual direction. So I'd like to talk about that. That'll be our topic. I'd like to talk about spiritual direction. If we really want to grow in our spiritual lives, we should all try to get a spiritual director. So if we really honestly want to grow in our spiritual life, we should all try to get a spiritual director. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to I'd like to highlight some examples of spiritual direction and what are the qualities of a good spiritual director and what are the qualities of the person being directed. So I'd like to speak about this very important topic. And just over the weekend, we had one of the women who's been one of the key spiritual directors in the parish was able to give a morning presentation on spiritual direction. So I'd like to highlight some of the examples of spiritual direction in the Bible. And what are the qualities of a good spiritual director according to St. Teresa of Avila? And what are the requirements of the directee related to the director? So let's dive into it. And this is very, very Ignatian, by the way. If you know Ignatian spirituality, St. Ignatius insists a lot upon us having some type of spiritual direction. First example. I'm going to give you some biblical examples of spiritual direction. First example would be in the Old Testament we encounter the young Samuel in the temple. Young Samuel is in the temple and next to him is the high priest Eli. At night, Samuel hears a voice that is talking to him. Samuel, Samuel. So Samuel gets up and he goes to the high priest Eli and said, "Here I am, did you call me?" Eli said, "I did not call you, go back to bed." So he goes back and he hears the voice again. And Samuel says, "Eli, here I am. You called me. I did not call you, go back to bed." So once again, Samuel hears the voice, "Samuel, Samuel." And he goes to Eli, says, "Here I am, you called me." And Eli recognized that God was speaking to the young Samuel. So Eli, serving as a model for spiritual direction, Eli says to Samuel, "The next time you hear the voice of God, then respond as such. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening." And that's why to be able to recognize the voice of God, we have to have some type of spiritual direction. So Eli, the older priest, served as the spiritual director for Samuel so that he could respond to the voice of God. So that's the first. Okay, I'll give you the second. We go from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And we have the Ethiopian eunuch we find in the book, the Acts of the Apostles. This Ethiopian eunuch has traveled to Jerusalem. He's seeking the Lord. He's seeking the Lord. But he doesn't have proper spiritual direction. So, when he's coming back, he's heading back to his home, which would be Ethiopia. He's reading through the prophet Isaiah. And God tells Philip to catch up to the Ethiopian being drawn by horse. And he runs up to the Ethiopian who's reading the prophet Isaiah, and Philip asks the Ethiopian if he understands what he's reading. This Ethiopian eunuch who's well educated, he's reading through the prophet Isaiah. He invites Philip to come up and sit down next to him. He's reading a passage from Isaiah, which is the suffering servant. He was like a sheep led to the slaughter. He opened up not his mouth. By his wounds we are healed. The eunuch asks Philip for an interpretation, so Philip launches in and he becomes the spiritual director. Of the Ethiopian eunuch. And Philip is explaining how these biblical passages of the Old Testament refer to Jesus, the new Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And apparently, in this conversation, Philip makes reference to the importance of baptism as a requirement to follow Christ. So as they're driving along, there's some water on the roadside, and the Ethiopian eunuch says to Philip, there's some water there. What's to prevent me from being baptized? So Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, they descend from the chariot, and Philip baptized him. Then Philip was snatched from his presence and placed in another place, preaching and teaching and casting out devils And the Ethiopian, filled with the Holy Spirit, goes back to his country to share the good news. That is another example of the importance of spiritual direction. The importance of spiritual direction. If that Ethiopian did not have Philip, that Ethiopian eunuch did not have Philip, then he would not have been able to interpret Isaiah, much less the importance of baptism. So the real urgency of spiritual direction and catechesis and biblical explanation. So there are others. I'll let you give you maybe one more, and then we can get into what are the qualities for a good spiritual director. I can give you one more. Next one is taken from Luke chapter 24. And this is a beautiful passage for many reasons, but also implied within this biblical passage is proper spiritual direction. Proper spiritual direction. And this would be the famous biblical passage of the resurrection of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. So two of these disciples are leaving Jerusalem. They're heading toward a little town called Emmaus, about 7 miles away. They're talking about what happened to Christ. But they're basically arguing about it. They don't have clarity. They're confused. They're disoriented. They're in a state of desolation. Doesn't really seem to make sense what happened to Christ. Then a man comes and starts to walk next to them. And it is, of course, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, even though they didn't recognize him. Very important, because this is related to spiritual accompaniment. Spiritual accompaniment, being accompanied. We have to have accompaniment in our spiritual life. This is spiritual direction. So our Lord is walking side by side with them. And he enters into conversation with them. This is really a real good model for spiritual direction. Walking with, accompanying, It's a really good model for spiritual direction. He's walking side by side with them. And he asks them basically what's going on in their lives. How do they feel? And they are in profound desolation because they do not really understand the whole Paschal mystery, the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ. They don't understand it. So he walks side by side with them. And he allows them to open up their hearts and to articulate their inner feelings, how they feel about what's going on in the past couple of days. And they open up their hearts and they basically unload. And Jesus serves as their spiritual director because he's a very attentive listener. And that's one of the qualities of a good spiritual director, is to be an attentive listener. That's right, to be an attentive listener. Listening attentively. And then once they're able to basically unload and articulate very freely what was going on in their lives, then our Lord serves as spiritual director. After listening very attentively, then he intervenes and he talks to them. And he clarifies, he talks and he clarifies all that was going on in their lives. They've been muddled, confused. Now he intervenes and he explains clearly the meaning of sacred scripture, how these biblical passages in the Old Testament refer to him. And this dense cloud of confusion, this dense cloud of desolation, this dense cloud of uncertainty, it dissipates and disappears. It dissipates and disappears. And eventually, these disciples will say, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he explained the word of God to us?" So these disciples, walking with our Lord, he accompanying them, is truly a model for spiritual accompaniment, truly a model for spiritual direction. All right, so I've given you three classical biblical passages that refer to spiritual direction. Samuel, the young Samuel in the temple directed by Eli, the priest. Then, the Ethiopian eunuch being directed by Philip the deacon. And finally, we have the example of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus being directed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Those are three classical biblical passages that highlight the importance of spiritual direction. Now, let's now talk about the qualities of a good spiritual director. As well as, what are the qualities of a good directee? It has to be a two-way street. A good director, but a good directee. If there's not a harmonious blend between both of them, then it's not going to work. So somebody give you the basic qualities that we have from St. Teresa of Avila. St. Teresa of Avila is one of the greatest teachers on prayer. And she had the privilege of having more than one spiritual director, St. John of the Cross, St. Francis Borja, as well as St. Peter Alcantara. They all helped her in spiritual direction. So she highlights these three essential qualities for good spiritual directors. First is the importance of a director trying to really pursue a life of holiness. As the Bible says, be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. Holiness of life. The second would be learning. Spiritual directors should be learned. They should be educated. They should know the spiritual life. They should know dogmatic theology. They should know the basics of moral theology. St. Teresa of Avila insists a lot upon the importance of having a well-educated, a learned spiritual director. Now, so those are the first two qualities, holiness and learning. Now, give an example in the life of Teresa of Avila. She had another director. It was a younger priest. That was insisting that she give herself to vocal prayer and limit herself to simply a lot of vocal prayers. And Teresa of Avila said she got headaches. Because she had already arrived, gone from the ascetical life to the mystical life. They're different in the way of perfection. Teresa of Avila goes through different stages of prayer. And Teresa of Avila said about that young director, she said he should have known better. That's right. She said, she gently rebuked him. He should have known better. That she was in a higher mystical state of prayer and he should have given her more better direction related to where she was at spiritually in her prayer life. The last quality is Teresa of Avila speaks, she uses the word prudence. Now, we have to interpret this properly. Prudence for Teresa of Avila meant basically experience. We can learn from sacred scripture. We can learn a lot from the beauty of nature. But also, my friends, our life is a book. And through our own life experience, we can learn a lot. For like a younger priest might be very holy, very learned, but he might not have this prudence, this experience that comes from life. So those are the three most important conditions that are given to us by Saint Teresa of Avila. Holiness, learning, and prudence related with the experience we have from life itself. What are the qualities then of the directee? Okay, I'd like to give you the qualities of a good directee. First would be transparency. Transparency means clarity in expression. The next quality would be that of obedience. Learning how to obey, God speaks through different channels. One channel would be through spiritual direction. And the third quality of a good directee would be that of docility. So I repeat, these are among the most salient, important qualities of one who's being directed, a directee. Transparency or openness, clarity. Obedience, God speaks through persons. And finally, docility. Being docile. So, my friends, let's pray. Let's pray that we get good spiritual directors. But also let's pray that we get good directees. It's a two-way street. So I'd like to invite all of you to share our message with your many friends. Because this, as Mary Jo Abbott said, she didn't know anything about spiritual direction. Many people do not even know really what spiritual direction is. But if we really want to grow in our spiritual life, we have to have some type of spiritual direction. And I'd like to give all of you my priestly blessing. You pray for me and I will pray for you. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.